Welcome to the Wild Heart Meditation Center podcast. It is our intention to continue offering these audio recordings free of charge. However, if you would like to donate to support our cause and keeping our facility open in Nashville, you can do so via the Venmo app by sending a donation to @WildHeartNashville, or you can find us online at our website, wildheartmeditationcenter.org, and click the donate tab. So tonight I want to speak on the topic of letting go. And I want to start by reading a quote by a Thai meditation master named Ajahn Chah. He says, "Do everything with a mind that lets go. If you let go a little, you'll have a little peace. If you let go a lot, you'll have a lot of peace. And if you let go completely, you'll have complete peace." And so I want to talk about letting go because it's something that is so practical, and it's also something that's so essential, especially from a Buddhist perspective, for our happiness and well-being in life. Right? It's also something we've all had experience with. We've all had experiences in our life where we were less concerned with control, you know, where we were more open-minded, when we were, you know, practicing new things. And I feel like those experiences are the times in my life where I feel the most free. And so I want to talk about letting go because it's practical, because it's essential for our happiness. It's something we've experienced, but it also because it's so evasive and something that is just like so fucking hard. Right? Like, have you ever really needed to let go of something, a habit or a toxic relationship or whatever it might be in your life, and you knew, okay, I got to stop doing this. I'm going to make the decision to stop doing this. And knowing intellectually that you need to let something go doesn't really even help you let go. It doesn't make it any easier. And so this kind of baffles me about this practice is, how can I know so deeply and intimately that something needs to happen but still struggle with it? And I want to kind of talk about that tonight. I'm mostly interested in what everyone has to say because I don't have any great wisdom to impart on anyone other than just some questions that we can talk about. So we all struggle, and I feel like there are a few places in particular that we struggle with letting go. One is we struggle to let go of or to give up control. You know, we want things to be certain, we want things to be consistent, and so we try to fix them or control them or put them in a place where we can have that consistency and that security. We also struggle to let go of expectations. You know, when things don't turn out the way that we thought they would. You know, like even tonight, as I was coming over here, I like to take a little bit of time at least to sit down and think about what the hell I'm going to talk about. And my wife had a client over and they went over like 30 minutes. And I was just watching how in my mind I was just like, that's not supposed to happen. They were supposed to be done at 4 and now it's 4:30. And of course, you know, we want to plan and we want to have some consistency in our schedule, but it's like it was a personal insult. You know, this expectation that I had that it should be a certain way felt super personal in the moment. We also struggle to surrender the outcome of something we've worked hard at. You know, this is kind of like, you know, we can put one foot in front of another and work towards a goal, but in terms of how it shapes out or how it turns out in the end, we don't really have any information today to predict or to try to, you know, accomplish something that hasn't happened yet. So how do we deal with uncertainty, right, in surrendering the outcome? And on the converse side, or the inverse, or whatever, the opposite, Not only do we struggle with control, letting go of expectations, surrendering outcome, we also struggle to practice the opposite, like remaining present in the face of uncertainty. I don't know about you, but I trip big time about the future and what is going to happen in the future. And trying to remain present, trying to actually remind myself that I'm here, the simple instruction we're talking about, is so hard when my mind wants to predict and obsess and figure it out. We also struggle to take a leap of faith in the face of fear, you know, to take some healthy risks and to practice that type of letting go. Like, I'm gonna just do this thing, you know, I'm gonna end this relationship, or I'm gonna go on the date, or I'm gonna, whatever it is, right? We have to be careful about getting too caught in what it is, but it's really that relationship to, am I willing to take a healthy risk? Am I willing to get outside of my comfort zone or at least go to the edge of it? And we struggle to, this is a big one for me, accept loss in the face of failure and rejection. You know, it is inevitable if we take risks, we will fail, right? But then the mind tells the story that I'm a failure, right? It personalizes. And of course I don't want to take another fucking risk because I don't want to feel like a failure. Or I don't want to be rejected. Right? But when we accept failure as a part of life, you know, not that we can accept that overnight, but when we come to terms with the reality of we're not always going to succeed, we're not always, things are not always going to work out how we want them to. I appreciated that about the Buddha's teaching, is he didn't say things are going to work out. You know, he said, you're subject to birth, aging, sickness, and death. And you're going to need a lot of coping skills and shit to deal with that. You know? But then you can have confidence in your ability to meet those experiences with compassion, with wisdom, with more clarity, with mindfulness, right? So just because we know intellectually that we should let go doesn't make the process any easier. There's a Thai forest monk named Ajahn Amaro that said that 80% of this practice is needing to let go and not being able to. Right? And I think this is really validating for me because Ajahn Amaro has been a monk for probably like 20, 30 years. And to have someone, you know, that late in their life cop to the reality that they still suck at this is like, okay, good. You know, it gives me some humility and some patience with the process. So tonight, that's what I want to talk about together. You know, why is it so hard to let go? What does the process look like for you? What is it when you're actually in the middle of struggling to surrender something or to give up something or to let something go? And how can we lean on, you know, this path, whether it's the Buddha's teachings or the practice of meditation in service of letting go? So the first thing I want to talk about is why it's so hard, you know, to give up control, to let go of expectations, to surrender the outcome, those three things that we talked about. And the first reason, and I always hesitate because it's very pop psychology these days to talk about like evolutionary biology and, you know, that type of stuff. But it's very real that we're wired, right? We're equipped with the neurobiological software to survive. You know, and so what our brain does, the mind is a problem-solving machine. You know, and what it does is it looks for threats. They call this the negative attention bias, right? We look for the problems in the present. We look for the problems that could be in the future. We look for the problems in our past. And that's just what the mind does when left to its own, left on its own without mindfulness. That's where it goes. And so the mind, it solves problems. And if it doesn't have problems, it'll fucking make problems up. You know? I don't know about yours, but mine does all the time. Like, most of the problems my mind creates are made up. the majority of them. And I'm like more and more and more humbled the more and more I try to practice this thing to notice how much my mind is just wrong about things. And also this software that we've been handed down through thousands of years of evolution is a pleasure-seeking machine. So not only does it look for the threats or the problems or make the problems up, it also looks for how can I feel good right now? And, you know, not to get preachy, but we're not doing so good. You know, like addiction is at epidemic proportions here, you know? And not just addiction to drugs and alcohol, but just like my teacher Dave calls it, the war on emotion. It's this kind of, we all have so many opportunities to escape how we feel at our fingertips. And this isn't a judgment. Again, we have to remember this is the software. This is like wired in. You know, my ancestors had to go walk miles and miles to find little berries. And when they ate them, the sugar and the high calories gave them big rewards because they needed that energy. And now I can go to fucking Krispy Kreme or wherever, you know, whatever it is for us. So why is it so hard to let go? Because we're not really set up to let go. We're set up to survive. And that means that we control. You know, it means that we get caught up in even the pleasure of, you know, the ego. Because other than just looking at sensory stimulation, pleasant feelings, we look at pleasant identities. I want to be the one that's liked, or the one that's recognized, or the one that's praised, or the one that's approved of. And so then we get in those habits. You know, so the good news of this for me is when the Buddha said that, you know, life has this degree of dis-ease and dissatisfaction and suffering to it, is that I felt like he was saying, it's not your fault though, you know? That's just how it is. You know, you're wired into this thing. And then he offered some hope. And he said, but there is a way that we don't have to fall into all of these habits. You know, we don't have to just follow around our impulses in all of these cycles of suffering that we get caught in. We can break free from it. You know, and that cycle is literally called, in Buddhist cosmology, it's called samsara, which means perpetual wandering. And we don't have to just walk around grabbing and dropping the next experience. Do you ever feel like you do that? All the fucking time. You know, I get here, okay, here's pretty good, but I want the next place. You know, and it's funny, we know this. We know this, we even talk about this. People, you know, money doesn't buy happiness, and once you get a certain amount of money, you just want more money. Or once, you know, you think the relationship's gonna fix you, you get in the relationship, and then you want out of the relationship, you know. So we just have to look at this mechanism that's driving the car, you know, which is craving. This impulse to reach out into the next thing. So that's why it's hard. There's another reason why it's hard to let go. And that's that there's an innate cost to letting go. Right? Whatever you hold on to in your life is familiar. It's comfortable. It's something that serves an emotional need. Right? And so to let go of it means that we confront the feelings of loss, of fear, of uncertainty. So anytime we try to change like a habit in our life, we have to recognize that that habit has served some emotional need for us. And so if we're to try to change it, it means that we're going to have to confront the anxiety, the fear, the uncertainty, even the loss of that thing. I heard this psychologist recently talk about meeting with her clients, and she just wrote a book, I forget what it's called, but she talked about how one of the most fascinating things to her after about 5 to 10 years of doing therapy with people was how people would have these like really deep, profound insights. They would like sit in her office and just talk about themselves, and they would really like get to the heart of how they're getting stuck in toxic relationships or habits. And she said, what baffled me is that people would know deeply and intimately what was wrong, and they still wouldn't change. And so she got really interested in you know, what it takes to make a change. And she just talked about that as we form a habit, it is what becomes familiar to us, and our brain will naturally select for security or what's familiar over what actually brings us happiness. Right? So when we get in a habit, your brain naturally will select the familiarity of that habit over what's actually making you happy. Which is kind of crazy to think about. And when I look back on my life, there have been so many times. I mean, some of y'all in the room know me pretty well. I've been in some relationships that everyone around me was like, dude, what are you doing? And continued to stay and stay because it was what was familiar. I'd created my life around this person. And so to lose that meant like being lonely, you know, dealing with loss and dealing with fear. And so Ajahn Chah says there are two types of suffering. There's the suffering that leads to more suffering and the suffering that leads to the end of suffering. And he said, if you don't embark on the second type, you're going to repeat the first. So this is good and bad news, which means that to change means that there's going to be pain. You know, but there can be the pain of, in a way, moving through it, or the pain of repeating it. Why is it hard to let go? The way we're wired, the loss, what we have to feel when we let go. So what I want to talk about is, you know, how do we practice with it? How do we lean on this practice in particular, these teachings, meditation, as a resource or a way to let go? I want to read a quote by Alan Watts. He says, here's a really great way of summarizing things. He says, whether we like it or not, change comes. And the greater the resistance, the greater the pain. Buddhism perceives the beauty of change, for life is like music in this. If any note or phrase is held for longer than its appointed time, the melody is lost. Thus, Buddhism may be summed up in two phrases, let go and walk on. Drop the craving for self, for permanence, for particular circumstances, and go straight ahead with the movement of life. And so I like that he says that whether we like it or not, change comes, and the greater the resistance, the greater the pain. You know, there's this like equation that sometimes Buddhist teachers put out there for suffering. They say the present experience times resistance equals suffering. So whatever is happening times how much or to what degree we resist what's happening, we suffer. And there's a difference between pain and suffering. This is where I really appreciate the Buddha and his kind of realistic, pragmatic approach to teaching. As he said, yeah, pain, I don't teach a practice or a path that gets rid of that. He said, unfortunately, you're stuck with that one, but the resistance, the ways that we create an added layer of suffering, that we can work on. We only minimally have control over what arises in our life, what happens. But we do get to choose what we bring to the experience. Right? And this is really the nuance, and it's simple, it's not complex, but it's subtle, of mindfulness, is that we don't really get to choose much of what happens in our experience. We have influence over it, you know. But because everything changes, these things that happen to us, they're just all temporary. So they're all happening and leaving and happening and leaving and changing. But what we can do is whatever arises, whatever happens in our life, we can relate to it. And it's in our relationship to it where we find our freedom or our degree of suffering. When I resist, when I control, when I hold on to my expectations, when I get caught up in the outcomes, I struggle more. You know, when I can open more to what is in the experience with some patience and humility and compassion, right? And I don't do this shit like well at all. I mean, I wouldn't be here if I was good at it. You know what I mean? But I have an opportunity. And that's like where I really feel that I connect to the practice. Is that every moment there's a relationship to what you're experiencing. Every moment there's an opportunity. So one of the ways that we practice is through meditation, right? Through mindfulness, what I talked about a couple weeks ago, wise investigation. We have to be willing to look intimately at the areas where we feel stuck, where we're holding on, right? So we can see clearly the ways in which we suffer. We have to turn towards it and embrace, in a way, the difficulty in life. Instead of getting caught in this kind of social conditioning that there's something wrong with you if you're struggling. You know, the most human thing you can experience is struggle. You know? So when we get these messages that it's like your fault or your failure, these judgments or pressures, I notice it with having a baby, and mostly with, I think, my wife and the pressure she feels as a mother, you know, this kind of like mom pressure that goes around. And it's so wild because I'm like, you're so obviously, not to her, I'm saying to myself, like, you're, Andrew, you're so obviously out of control of this little human being. Like, I've never felt this unmanageable in my life other than drug and alcohol addiction. You know what I mean? Like, up at 1 a.m. and, you know, shit everywhere. And it's like, but then there's all this pressure to, like, control in a way. I mean, we wouldn't say it that way, but to somehow control your child. You know, shape them and train them. Sleep training. You know, we're trying sleep training. I'm not judging. I'm just saying it's kind of a mess. You know what I mean? And then it's funny because then she sleeps really good on some nights. And I'm like, man, I am like the best fucking parent. Our baby is so easy. And then the next night she's up every 30 minutes and I'm like, what are we doing wrong? You know, so this social conditioning around right and wrong and, you know, this kind of, it's in a way a denial that of change, of impermanence, that we're not in control of much, really, other than how we relate. So, you know, a big part of meditation is not actually, this is where I get to the point where I kind of chop down this word letting go. I don't really like it much. But really, meditation and meditation practice is more about letting things be as they are. You know, because when we get in this habit of thinking I need to let something go, it's like, still can have an element of control to it a lot of the times. Well, if I just let go of this thought, then I won't have any thoughts. If I just let go of this feeling that's coming up right now, then the feeling should go away. Right? So there's a way in which letting go can actually be a form of resistance itself. But letting be is the painful truth that, oh, here's the thought. Here's the feeling. There's the mind again. It's like a welcoming, it's an acknowledging and letting that experience have its natural life cycle. Let it grow up and get old and sick and die, you know? It's letting things be. Also in this practice, one of the things the Buddha encourages us to lean on is community. Which I'm very interested in a form of psychology called attachment psychology, and they talk about how intimately wired we are and how much of our sense of self is constructed through our earliest relationships with our caregivers and how, you know, our family rules, whether spoken or unspoken, kind of get ingrained in us and how we see the world. And, you know, we are so wired to connect. And we use our connection, we can use our connection as a way to do this investigation together. You know, the first experiences I ever had of relieving suffering have been when I'm with other people and I tell them that I'm suffering and they are able to see it and say, oh, I know what that's like. I'm sorry you're experiencing that. There's presence and awareness and acceptance, mindfulness. Right? But I use another person to get a little bit of space from the thought or the feeling. So other people are our best, I think, vehicle or best shot at staying sane. But this means that we have to practice being vulnerable, you know, asking for help, accepting responsibility, which means that I can get support, but you're not going to fix me. You know, you ever have someone come to you or you go to someone and you're vulnerable and you ask for help, but then there's this kind of like forgetting that we still need to do the work ourselves. No one can do that for us. You know, the Buddha says this, you know, in his teachings quite clearly. He says, be an island unto yourself, a refuge to yourself. He said, seek no other refuge. He ultimately said, we are responsible for our own, for lack of a better word, salvation. It's up to you. It's not out there, it's in here. That's empowering, you know, but it means that we have to also accept responsibility. All right, last, we have to, I think, practice to some degree, another word that I used to struggle a lot with, some faith. You know, to try anything means that we have to have some degree of faith. And in Buddhism, I like it because the word sada for faith actually means something more like confidence or trust. You have to trust in something else, but you have to trust that if you show up in the moment, if you make the decision to let go, and you show up in the moment, that you're going to make it through that fear or that loss or that uncertainty. You know, because we always respond best when we're here, where our body is. The mind and the body like to actually be in the same place. You know, and they know this. This is like secular mindfulness 101, is that when we focus, when we're here, our stress is less. But it's so hard to actually have trust in that. Like, really simple example, you're sitting during the meditation, you have a really creative thought or a good idea or a plan for next week, or you remember you forgot to do something. It's so hard to actually tell the mind, I'm not going to do that right now in a gentle way and come back here. To trust that I can let go. You know, it happens to me all the time in meditation, especially on the days when I give the Dharma talk and I sit in the morning, my mind is just like, oh, so many great ideas. You know, and then you want to open your eyes and write down all the good ideas. And then I looked, you know, years of looking at it after, and I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck this means. It's like I'm trying to hold on to something, you know what I mean? Instead of just trusting a little bit, it's like, okay, you're going to get up there and, you know, whatever is going to come out of your mouth, but you got to do it. So just be present. And I find that the more I can do that, you know, the more I can touch into like what the truth of my experience is while I'm up here. I'm just using this as an example because public speaking is not fun for anyone, myself included, you know. But I've actually found over years of doing it that when I'm more present, and instead of telling myself that my anxiety has to go away or it can't be here, saying, okay, anxiety, you're going to have to do the Dharma talk with me tonight. And you're going to be here and I'll be with you and we're going to be present in the moment. That we can show up better. I can have more confidence in that. So I want to read one last quote and then just hear from you guys what you think. This quote is also by Ajahn Chah. He says, simplify your meditation practice down to just two words, let go. Rather than try to develop this practice and then develop that and achieve this and go into that and understand this and read the suttas and study the texts on Buddhist psychology and then learn Pali Sanskrit and then the Prajnaparamitra and get ordinations and the Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana, write books and become a world-renowned authority on Buddhism, instead of becoming the world's expert on Buddhism and being invited to great international Buddhist conferences, just let go. He says, I did nothing but this for 2 years. Every time I tried to understand or figure things out, I'd say, let go, let go, let go, until the desire would fade out. So I'm making it very simple for you to save you from getting caught in incredible amounts of suffering. There's nothing more sorrowful than having to attend international Buddhist conferences. Some of you might have the desire to become the Buddha of your age, but instead, I must suggest becoming an earthworm, letting go of the desire to become the Buddha. Just be an earthworm who only knows two words, let go, let go, let go.